Do you want ants? Because that's how you get ants. Now sweep up those crumbs and prepare to feast on the spiritual comedy stylings of the half hour of universal awesomeness. It's just not a picnic without spiritual ass kicker Amy Scott Grant and whole being RN Audrey Christie McLaughlin. Please pass the potato salad.
All right, guys, welcome back. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Christy, like, this is, I know we're such nerds, but really, energetic hygiene, could you pick a better topic?
Right?
Like, seriously.
Right? It's going to be fab.
I had a friend in, well, I would say there was a guy. I don't know if I'd say I had a friend, but there was a guy in my, what do they call it, New Orleans grammar school, right? But in the entire rest of the planet, it's called elementary school, or at least the rest of the country. And his name was Gene. And oh my God, if one of our friends didn't make that joke on a daily basis. Hi, Gene, right? So unfortunate for Gene.
Right.
Who was a really sweet guy. But that's not, believe it or not, that's not what we're talking about today. All right, so what is energetic hygiene? You know what? We'll in a nutshell, it's keeping your energy shizzle clean.
Yes.
Right?
Avoid the energetic BO.
Energetic BO. Oh my God. Which stinks to high heaven.
Right?
Again, we need the sound effects. So how does your energetic hygiene get out of whack anyway? Well, you pick up crap from all kinds of places. So where do we get this negative energy from, Christy?
Well, like you said, all kinds of places. It could be interactions with negative people. It could be negative entities. And a lot of times I think it's the way other people's energies are perceived by ourselves or by you. So if whether my energy is particularly negative or not, oftentimes it's the receiver of that energy and the perception of the energy that is what causes it to feel negative, right?
Oh, sometimes it's just negative.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I think a lot of times it's, you know, you've had those interactions with someone where, you know, you and a friend sit down with a third person and one of you's like, oh my God, their energy just rubbed me the wrong way. They're, you know, I can't freaking stand them, whatever. And the other one's like, oh, really? I thought they were totally cool and nice and warm and bubbly and, you know, good vibes. So,
oh, yeah.
So there's that aspect of it as well. And I think I already said pick up negative entities. It could be a space that holds some sort of negative energy that you've been in. It could be past life traumas and hurts and blocks.
And that's usually the case when, like in the situation you were talking about where you had a bad interaction with somebody and somebody else who was present was like, really? I was not getting that at all, right?
Yeah.
Probably you and that person had some type of past life betrayal that's unresolved that the other person wasn't involved with at all, right? So yeah, totally. And don't we have, like, I think I have a video on why you don't like someone you just met.
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm. Go watch that on YouTube.
Yeah.
When you were talking about energetically dense locations, mm-hmm. right? I had the worst time when I had I had a C-section with all my kids. So I just laugh and play along when other people talk about labor because I've never experienced it, but at least not birth labor, plenty of manual labor. But I had the worst time in that hospital, which is crazy because it's the same hospital that I had Sydney in. But I think I was just that much more attuned by the time Adam came along and I was freaking miserable. Thankfully, I had packed my Weaver, but like my arms were tired from holding the Weaver.
Right.
Because I had so much pain in my body. It was like back between my shoulder blades, like, you know, where we talk about where the attachment part of the angel wings. Like if you had angel wings, mm-hmm. where they would attach to your back.
Yes.
That part was killing me in the hospital. And I know when you have any kind of abdominal surgery, and anybody that's had abdominal surgery knows this, you can get really bad pain in your body because when you're open like that, then when they close you up, gas can get trapped, like air can get trapped in different parts of your body. And it's hard to, it's not like, you know, it's not like you can just fart and let it out. It's like it gets trapped. And so they tell you, you need to get up and walk around, which is the last freaking thing you want to do after you just had a baby and you're nursing and abdominal surgery and all this stuff. But it was my shoulders that hurt so bad. And my friend Jessica came to see me in the hospital, and she was a massage therapist. And I swear she worked on my upper back for like an hour and a half, and I did not feel, and she's amazing, and I didn't feel any better when she was done. It was so much pain. And when I started digging, thank God I had packed my Weaver in the bag, and I had Andy hold it over me for like hours, which if you've met Andy, you know he has the attention span of a fly. So that was no small feat. And I'm like, I just had a baby. It hurts. Okay, okay, okay. What do you need? But I, in checking in, why is this happening? And this didn't happen with my other two surgeries. I had a little bit of pain with Sydney, but, you know, literally a little bit of walking around worked it out. I got that I was picking up on all of the crap, the energetic crap that had been deposited, not only in that hospital room, but in that hospital. And I mean, I can't tell you, I was just like, okay, we're going to clear this room. We're going to clear this wing. We're going to clear this hospital. We're going to clear all the hospitals in the US and all the hospitals like worldwide, because that was only the point when I could finally get some relief. And I think I was in the hospital 3 days, right? Because it was C-section. Mm-hmm. And it was like the third day. It finally stopped hurting after I had cleared basically the entire planet. So, which I thought was a little unfair given that I just had a baby. Granted, this baby does think he's God's gift today. But for real. So that was, I mean, I had to do, hands down, that is the biggest volume of energetic hygiene I've ever had to personally practice on myself was that freaking experience. And Christy, for you, it's probably just every time you see your in-laws, right?
Nah.
It's okay. They don't listen to this. You could totally say.
For me, gosh, it's probably, you know, I want to say every time I go on my kids' school.
Really?
But I really think that's my perception. A lot of that is my perception. You know, I don't have like a major, you know, I have systems. Like if I know I'm going somewhere that I'm going to be bombarded with negative energy, or, you know, a space that's likely to have a lot of negative energy, I have some tricks that I do before I go in there. So typically I don't get caught off guard.
And I definitely want to talk about those. But first, I want to say, because you mentioned a couple times about perception. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't think that matters. Like in the context of this conversation, it really doesn't matter whether you think there's negative, like a lot of negative or dense energy in a space versus the reality of what really is. In the context of energetic hygiene, it really, you heard how I said it.
Yeah, you did.
Hygiene. In the context of energetic hygiene, now it's just
now
funny
it's stuck,
every
yeah.
time.
Oh, you start calling it hygiene.
Hygiene. Is that what they do in East Texas? My oral hygiene is slipping.
Yeah, right. You only got like two chiclets in your mouth.
And there's yellow.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Oh, gosh. But you're responsible for your own energetic hygiene, right? Mm-hmm. So if you feel crappy when you go to the kids' school, it doesn't really matter if there's a crappy energy or you just perceive that. The point is you feel it, so why not protect yourself, right? And I'm sure that you do. So I just want people to know that, like, it's okay to have a perception that maybe is different from everyone else's perception. This is really about self-care mm-hmm. and learning to transmute that energy, which when we're transmuting energy, I keep hearing the word alchemy, right? But it really is like taking what's there and elevating it. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ways to do that. So, and that's where you were going before I jumped in. So, Christy, what are some of the ways that you protect yourself if you know you're going into an energetically icky place or situation?
So my favorite thing to do is put on my bubble, right? And we use this for all sorts of different things, for just general protection. We like to use it when we travel. But anytime I'm going anywhere where I'm expecting there to be negative energy or a negative exchange of some sort, I put on my pink bubble. And I just take a minute to intend that there's a bright pink bubble surrounding me, and that it filters out negative energy, both from other people in the surroundings and also from me. Anything that, you know, I might do to add to negative energy, it filters it out both ways. And so it's like the best condom in the world, right? it's an energetic rubber.
Oh my god.
Oh shoot.
And this show just went to PG-13.
It did.
Mommy, what's a rubber?
It's a bubble. Which makes me feel terrible, because the next thing I was going to say is that my children also wear their pink bubbles. So perhaps I shouldn't have used that reference. But
on next week's show, Enlightened Parenting, yes, with Amy and Audrey.
Oh, great. Yeah, but so I've taught my kids to do the same thing. And there's other tricks, but that one's my favorite one. It's easy and I don't need any tools to use it.
Yeah.
You know, but there are some other things you can do using tools for both your personal. Now, every time I say protection, I'm going to think of rubbers.
And you're talking about tools. So, right? Of course, my mind's going down a dirty path.
Okay.
Just ran it back in. You know what, though? Honestly, laughter is a great way to clear energy.
True.
Right? Because you can't be holding on to a funk when you're authentically laughing and true, joyful. It makes it so much easier to just like shake all that crap off, right? So, but yeah, that's why. That's why we talk about what we talk about in this show. Yeah, tools. There's lots of tools. I, you know, smudge. Most people know about smudging mm-hmm. a space, right? You buy a little bundle of white sage and you light it, and it doesn't burn like it looks like it would burn for being dried twigs and stuff. It just kind of smolders, and you may even have to keep lighting it or blow on it. But the object is not to like smoke out your whole house. It's just the cleansing properties of the sage itself and your intention. So much of it is your intention. Mm-hmm. And you just walk around the house, and it's called smudging. You don't actually wipe it on the walls. Which the first time I heard the word smudging, I was like, ooh, no, I don't think I want you to smudge my house. Like, I just cleaned it. Right? Who are we kidding? I just had it cleaned. So, no, so it's a little, yeah, it's more like smudging the energy, right? But it doesn't actually leave any ash or anything like that in your space. So, and it is, you know, if you're sensitive to smell, smudging may not be the way to go, because it does have a fairly strong smell, but it dissipates. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hang out in the air forever like cigarette smoke. But that is an easy way. And, you know, talking about intention, my middle child has a very strong aversion to bugs, right? And they kind of, we had an experience this summer where she got bitten by mosquitoes and just like had some kind of allergic reaction. They looked like spider bites. They were very painful and itchy for days, very swollen and tender. And so she really has an aversion to any kind of bugs. So she brought me this little ladybug necklace, because that's ladybugs and dragonflies and butterflies, literally the only bugs that she will tolerate in her space. So she brought me this ladybug necklace of hers one day, and she said, hey, would you mind charging this to make it a protection, like to keep all other bugs away? And I was like, sure. So I did that, and I gave it back to her. She wears that like every freaking day.
Right?
So, and haven't heard a peep out of her about a bug in months, right? So, but again, so much of that is the intention, my intention that I put into the necklace, and her intention in what she wanted the necklace to do. So a lot of times when we're using these tools, it really comes down to what your intention is about it. Fortunately, if you're, you know, maybe if you think you're not very good at intention, or you don't know how to do that. Crystals are great because the intention is sort of built in.
Right.
Like, comes with the crystal. So you can use crystals in a variety of ways and not have to have an understanding of what their metaphysical properties are or how they transmute energy. And I used crystals for definitely for a few years before I was even interested in, you know, like, why do I keep being drawn to the same? Oh, okay, right. So once I started researching and learning about crystals, I got even more into it. But you can use them without knowing a darn thing about them, which is cool.
Yeah.
And what else? There's, you know, singing bowls and salt lamps. You can buy a salt lamp, put that in a room, plug it on. That transmutes energy. That's great when my kids all have. Actually, we have salt lamps all over my house. I think the kids each have one in their room. And we have one in my office and one in my husband's office. And yeah, they're kind of all over the house. But if someone in the house is ill, a salt lamp's a really good thing to put in their room. And turn that on, and you can just kind of keep it going. It's a really soft glow, so you can keep it going like all the time. Even music can be a form of, you know, getting some of that funk off of you and raising your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking back to a Ripple Magic retreat, probably a year or two ago, it was right after Taylor Swift's Shake It Off came yes. out, and somebody was like, this might sound weird, but I feel like we need to hear this song to finish this clearing. And I had never heard it. And I was like, oh, I like this song. It's kind of catchy. Right? So did billions of other people. She made a lot of money. So, but yeah, we literally like danced around and were shaking our arms and like shaking off whatever we had just cleared. So it was kind of silly and fun, but yeah, so music's another great way. And the song doesn't have to be about transmuting energy or changing your vibration. It could just be a song that you particularly love or that makes you feel really, really good when you hear it.
Right. And energetically, both metaphysical energetics as well as like scientific energetics, when you turn on music or when you play a singing bowl or do any of those things, or even have a crystal in the room, depending on the size of the crystal, you're literally changing the vibration of the room, of the surrounding area. So it's a very physical as well as energetic change.
That's true, right? That's so much of what feng shui is about, is being conscious about how you place things in your space. So if you think about something that's in your space that maybe a relative, maybe somebody gave it to you and you don't particularly love it, but you're keeping it in the space either out of obligation or because the person comes over or whatever, that has a whole different energy than something else that you got that has a very strong positive memory. Either someone that you adore gave it to you and it was exactly what you wanted, mm-hmm. or you bought it on your trip, you know, maybe you bought it on your honeymoon and it was the best trip ever, or, you know, or your favorite crystal. A lot of us get really attached to our crystals, right?
Oh, I do.
So there's certain crystals that we just love. So when you have that in your space, I mean, that, of course, that is like magnifying that vibration as well. So, you know, there's kind of two ways that you can maintain your energetic hygiene. There's things that some of us do routinely to kind of keep things clean. You think of like you brush your teeth and comb your hair every day, right? So there's things that are done routinely. Then there's things that we only do as needed, like a wax, right? Or I was going to say eyebrow plucking, but that's gotten pretty routine for me. So there's no special occasion on that. It's daily. So Audrey, tell us some of the, like, do you have sort of a daily thing that you do in terms of energetic hygiene?
I think probably my, you know, well, sort of, you can consider this part of energetic hygiene. I try to take at least 5 minutes. Because nobody, you know, not all the time do I have 20 minutes, but to meditate in the morning and then the afternoon. I generally have some sort of crystal on my person. Sometimes that's chosen specifically for, well, actually, I guess always it's chosen for energetic hygiene. Sometimes it's specifically for negative energies. And then the bubble trick that I shared at the beginning is kind of the daily, no matter what, type deal.
Do you do that before you bring the kids into school?
Well, I drop them off in the pickup line. I actually do it before the other kids from the neighborhood get in my car for carpool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just so that I can, and none of them really bring negative energy, but just so that I can, it's mostly for patience at that point. So I don't read things that they say as, you know, what a smart ass or what an asshole, when I should be reading it as, oh, they're five or eight. And depending on what time I've gotten up that morning, how much work I've done before, you know, there's lots of factors that go into that. Yeah, so that's what I do. My favorite.
I
was just gonna say my favorite crystals for negative energy are black tourmaline, smoky quartz, and then I usually like to sort of fill the vacuum with like a rose quartz or amethyst or something. Yeah.
We in terms of on like routine stuff, my jewelry is definitely intentionally selected. So I almost always wear hoop earrings. I mean, I have like a dozen different pairs that I love, but you know, that circle, that idea of the energy circle. And then I have quite a bit of jewelry that has a spiral on it. Right. Which of course is the Ripple Magic symbol. And very important to me, this idea of what we do spiraling out into the world and making an impact. So, I am usually, I'm thinking not necessarily like I planned it, but it seems like almost every day I'm wearing some kind of spiral, and for sure circles, right? Mm-hmm. The hoops. And even my gemstone jewelry all has, you know, very strong sort of cleansing properties. And it's funny because I'll reach for things in the morning just like, oh, I feel like wearing this today. I feel like wearing that in terms of jewelry. And sure enough, by midday, I'm like, oh, that's why I needed this particular stone on today, right? Because I didn't know that was coming. I mean, I guess I did on some level. But so jewelry for sure on my person. And then I have a lot of things in my environment. Like I said, we have a salt lamp in almost every area of the house. But we also have in our living room, which our living room kitchen's all like very open. And the that's the space that we're most likely to entertain in, right? So we have a big chunk of labradorite in that living room area. And labradorite actually absorbs negative energy. Now, I will tell you something funny about labradorite is you need to clean it. It's, in my house, like there aren't, I know some people find they have to clean their stones regularly. In my house, literally the only stone we have to clean is the labradorite. It's the weirdest thing, Christy. It's like if somebody negative is in, mother-in-law, no, but if like if somebody, you know, is not very positive, is in our space for like an extended period of time, no one will have touched the labradorite because it's like up on a shelf. It's not something you would pick up and handle. It's like you need to get on a stool to get it. But if you were to touch it before that person came over and then to touch it after, it's crazy. Like afterwards, it feels slimy, even though no one has touched it. It is the most bizarre thing. But I've never like seen a stone like that that had tangible physical properties of it working. But the labradorite, after some negative people have been in the space, I definitely have to wash it. And I have a little bit of labradorite jewelry for occasions when I have to spend time with somebody who's kind of negative or toxic. But yeah. And then I usually smudge the house. I don't know, every when it needs it, really. That's kind of what the other type of energetic hygiene involves, is when necessary. You know, you think about with your house, you probably do some stuff regularly, but you don't, you know, polish the silver. I don't know who still has silver, right? What's something you would only do occasionally? Yeah. Shampoo the carpets, yeah, I guess. Go. You know, that you don't do that every week. You know, if you do, you, may have a problem.
You probably have to replace your carpets a lot if you shampoo them every week.
That's true.
I don't think they're built for that.
Yeah, they're not really designed for weekly shampooing. but yeah, you might do that once a year or something, or having your air ducts cleaned in your house. That might be something you do once a year or something. So not like you have to do it every year, but there's this idea that there's certain types of energetic hygiene that you need to do as needed. And how do you know when? It just feels funky.
Yeah.
Like something feels off, or your energy feels low, or, you know, and you can't point to like, oh, well, I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. You're like, God, I don't know why I'm just dragging ass today. Well, you may need to do some energetic hygiene. Or I don't know why I'm so pissy. You check the calendar. You're not PMSing. You probably need to do some energetic hygiene. And so
there's lots of things that you can do, you know, like you mentioned the salt lamps, we have them all over our house too. But you can maybe grid a room. If there's a room or a place that's particularly, especially if you've bought the house or, and somebody else has lived there or even built a house and there's all kinds of things going on, you can grid each room with crystals, or you can, it took me a long time to sage, because, you know, it's kind of like new car smell. I didn't want to stink up my house. And I like the smell of sage, but I could just imagine like Donnie coming home and being like, what the heck happened in here? Like, all I can smell. Like, did we have a big reefer party while I was at work today?
I know, it does smell a little bit like weed.
Like, what's going on? And I was also like super paranoid about dropping, you know, having an ember fall on the carpet, new house up in flames. And at the rate things were going in the new house, I was like, oh yeah, that could totally happen. So, right. So instead of saging with burning embers, I would either create a smudge spray, like an energetic transmuting spray out of sage, with some crystal chips in it and spritz it around the room. And I actually learned this in Ripple Magic, just using the intention. So I'd have the sage, it wouldn't be lit. And I would just walk around and smudge the room with the sage that wasn't lit, intending it to transmute the negative energies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do this thing like when I'm about to do a clearing and I feel very strongly that a candle wants to be lit, I kind of like, I don't know if you can hear this. You probably can't hear that.
I can hear it.
I kind of like, can you hear it? Uh-huh. I like flick my thumb, kind of like the reverse way if you were flicking a lighter, and I just like flick my thumb at the candle. Like if I can't stop what I'm doing to go walk across the room and light the candle.
Yeah.
Or if I'm in a space where it's not appropriate to have a candle lit, like we're about to leave the house or something like that, I'll just like pretend light it, and I'm holding the intention that that candle's being lit and doing whatever it needs to do to contribute to the clearing or to clear the space or whatever. So, I mean, that goes back to what I was saying earlier, like so much of it is around intention, right? So real quick, before we wrap, I would love to share with the folks, there's some ways that you're probably already transmuting energy and you don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So Audrey, what do you got on that?
Let's see, ways you're doing it. Well, I mean, I really feel like anytime you go, it's sort of a catch 22, because anytime you go in there, you're transmuting into a space, or you're always moving energy one way or the other. If you're particularly moving negative energy, just coming in, you know, with some of the things that we talked about, if your vibration is higher, you're transmuting the energy as soon as you enter an energetic situation or energetic exchange. My mind just went blank.
Well, I'm thinking too, like for me, you know, I'm extreme, like I have a really strong root chakra, right? Mm-hmm. And so I tend to create a grounding effect when I go into a place. So people are often telling me things like, I just feel so much better, you know, when I spend time with you, or I just feel so much better with you, or whatever. It's usually because they're not grounded in that moment. So they notice the difference when I walk in. Right. And so they feel safer. They pick up that grounding from me. It's not anything I'm consciously trying to do, but I have that sort of, I have that effect on people. But you know, and I have a friend who people like pour their heart and soul out to her. Like they feel very safe, like they can confide in her, even if they just met her. She has had waiters Like, tell them, cry and tell them her life story. You have too,
yes.
Audrey, right?
At the Dixie Diner in East Texas, I got the full story, and my entire family is sitting there like, what did you say to her? I'm like, I said nothing. She said,
you're like,
all.
I said nothing, but she's getting a $100 tip.
It happened yesterday at Alb's. I was at the grocery store, and the cashier was just like, I mean, to the point where people in line were getting mad, and you know, I was just like, I understand, you know, I'm just like, okay, like, I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe I'm not gonna go there, but. I was gonna say maybe get a job other than cashiering in Albertsons. I don't know, but it just, you know, it's part of being an empath, I believe, and yeah, people just pour their heart out to me all the time.
I think that is a form of transmuting energy, right? Like, yeah. This person was clearly carrying some troubles or concerns. And just, I bet they felt so much better just by sharing that with you. And so just by standing there and holding space and listening, mm-hmm. like, they actually got to feel heard, and that transmuted some of that energy. It doesn't mean that their problems magically disappeared, but I bet their feelings about their problems were changed as a result of that.
I should have been like, yeah, that'll be $20. And... No,
you're like, you could just pick up my groceries,
right? Yeah. So these two bottles of wine are free, and
and I think, you know, physical touch is another one. Just by giving somebody a hug when they need it, that definitely transmutes energy. So I'm sure there's other ways too, but
so what about? Oh, go ahead.
We're out of time.
Oh, we're out of time. No, I was going to say, what? How do you protect yourself, and you don't mind hugging people. I particularly am not a hugger. Mm-hmm. So I don't want, and even when somebody needs touch, I'm like that awkward, like, meh, you know, like, it'll be good. You know what I mean? Like,
pat.
Yeah. Like, one single finger
on their arm.
Yeah. Single finger touch. You're going to be okay. I'll ET style and then retract hand. I mean, I don't mind touching, hugging people that I know well.
Yeah.
And even, you know, on a friendship base, it wasn't until we lived here, my California friends and my Aussie friends, like, they won't let you say hello or goodbye without hugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long time to get used to that. So, mm-hmm. And still, yeah. You know, even though they're like family to me now, it's still very interesting. But is there a trick that you have that you can either make that forced hug not so weird, or is there something you can do or a trick you have so that you don't have to do that? Like, you can transmute it before.
Fold your
you
arms.
Have to touch. That doesn't help.
That doesn't help. Okay, so here's one thing that you might consider is that This is very similar to when people express their gratitude or appreciation.
Yeah.
It's their need to express. It's not your need to receive.
Right.
Okay. So when someone says, you know, thank you, I really appreciate whatever, you can really just smile and nod. You don't have to say anything. Because they are needing to get that out. They are needing to express that, right? And you can choose to receive it or not. But this is why being dismissive with gratitude doesn't work. So if you're like, oh, it was nothing, they're just going to keep being like, no, it really was, you know, and you're like, geez, would you shut up about it? You can just smile, okay? And go, okay, great. I'm so glad that worked out for you, right? Like, that's it. You don't have to, like, reciprocate. So I don't. In my opinion, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, if someone gives you this big hug, you can just kind of, you know, give them a quick squeeze back or like pat,
it's like,
and then
hug,
drop your arms. They may or may not let you go, right? They may need to keep hugging you. If you really don't want to be hugged, and I don't know if this is a Colorado thing, but I feel like in Colorado, people will ask, I feel like I want to hug you. Can I hug you? Is that okay?
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't care. So I go, sure, unless they're gross.
Right? No.
I don't know. Just,
You're cool. No.
Being honest, if someone was like, if a guy was like kind of sleazy, I'd be like, no, let's just shake hands, right? Yeah. I probably would if I had like a creepy feeling from him or if I felt like it was kind of lewd in any way. But for the most part, when people say, can I hug you? I'm like, sure. It's not a big deal to me. It doesn't bother me. If it bothered me, I think I would probably say, how about a handshake? You know, like, really, that's hard for, I mean, someone could still be obnoxious and be like, come on over here, right? And give you this big bear hug. But, you know, if you said something like, I would prefer to shake hands or, you know, We're watching all these Frasier reruns right now, right? The kids love them. And I don't know if you used to watch Frasier, but their dad was dating this woman named Sherry, who was very like outgoing and loud and colorful, right? Which, of course, Niles and Frasier didn't love. And just in the one we watched last night, Sherry was like, come on over here and plant a big kiss on your Aunt Sherry. And Niles goes, or how about a friendly wave from across the room as he's walking away? It was so perfect. So that's totally what I'm thinking of as you're asking this, right? Is you could just be like, hey, I'll just send you a big smile from over here. You know, I think if you don't want to be hugged, there's nothing wrong with having a way to say that, that you feel comfortable with. Not everyone's going to respect it, frankly.
Right.
Especially in the South.
Right? As I said, there's lots of hug buffets.
I know. You could probably move to New York. I bet no one would hug you in New York.
Oh, like, I you know, New York,
short of moving to the East Coast, I think, you know, having a phrase that you're comfortable saying with, you know, I don't know.
No, all you I can be think is honest. Hashtag nope.
You don't
and walking away.
Hashtag nope. Yeah. So
I think I'm gonna make a shirt that says hashtag nope, and I'm just gonna point to it. They might be like, "Oh, she's pointing to her boobs."
They'd be like, "That's so cute. Let me hug you for that. It's so cute." All right, we've gone way over time, but. So I hope we've given you guys a really clear idea of transmuting energy and how to be responsible for your own energetic hygiene. Mm-hmm. And hey, if you have things that you do either on a routine or sort of as needed basis, why don't you pop on over to the Facebook group and post it there? Chrissy, what's that link for the...
Great question, Amy. pay no attention to the clicky clacky.
I think it's universal awesomeness, isn't it?
I think so. We went through so many topics though because Facebook kept saying... Facebook said
taken,
awesomeness.
Taken.
No, they said it wasn't appropriate or wasn't long enough.
Facebook kept saying hashtag nope.
Right?
Nope.
Rude.
You're like, but I just want to hug you, Facebook. Nope. Nope. Anyway, I think it's facebook.com/universalawesomeness.
I'm proving it. It is facebook.com/universalawesomeness.
All right, cool. So pop on over there. Let us know what you like, what you guys like to do in terms of energetic hygiene. Yes. And we'll see you next time.
For sure.
Hey, don't let the fun end now. Treat yourself to some free unique gifts from AskAmyAnything.com and AudreyChristie.com. And be sure to tell us what you think of this episode at Facebook.com/Universal Awesomeness.